Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's a busy show today. We're going to hear from Louis DeBrus up in Edmonton for Sportsnet. We'll talk to him about what he saw last night and a bit of a preview of Flames and Jets, Minnesota and Vancouver, and a few other things as well. But first, we start the show off all the time like this with Lou.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Well, Peter, you and I have been doing this a long time. You've been in the media business a long time. It's been a while since we've had a challenge like we had last night, where we were doing a game from the boardroom across from my office, which was a little weird. But I'll tell you, driving around last night, listening to the second period and third period, you guys, you'd be hard pressed to think that you weren't there if you didn't know. And I you know, hats off to all three of you guys. You guys did a hell of a job. And thanks to Jeff Mason, our infamous engineer that usually gets it between the eyes on this show and others. But I thought it sounded really, really good. I know it was challenging, and it would have been a little strange for you guys, but you made the best of it.
Well, I appreciate all of that and the compliments, and I'd want to start just by really tipping my cap to Jeff Mason and Pat. The tireless work that both of them put in terms of all the little things that needed to get done and was just, you know, over and above type of effort. And, you know, I've had a great relationship with Jeff for a long time because Jeff's a guy I can really identify with. He's passionate. He truly cares. He's emotional. He's a straight shooter. But the one thing I've never questioned, Kelly, about Jeff Mason is when he cares, he's all in. And I think that was very much demonstrated. It was different. It was unique. There were a few bugs. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, when you have pros and pros care and they're all in, under the most adverse situation sometimes, you're still going to get a really good product. And isn't that what high-level sports and playoffs are all about?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's all about. So that's interesting. As we make through, we had one exhibition game to kind of look at and evaluate. So I guess my first question is, do we have more answers or do we have more questions after what we witnessed from Edmonton last night?
I think it's phrased beautifully, and I think I have more answers than questions.
Okay.
And here's the reason why. Did they start slow? Yes. But did they take over a hockey game against a quality opponent for about 35 minutes? Yes. Kelly, when I evaluate exhibition games, here's what I'm always watching for and analyzing. Not the final score, but the process. And will the Flames need to be much better off the start against the Winnipeg Jets? Yes. But they got to their game, and the real difference was, as it is in many nights and will be in the playoffs, is the Flames didn't get enough done with their good work in comparison to the Oilers. The Flames, I think, were the better team for longer in the game than the Edmonton Oilers. And my evaluation going in was, I think this is an awesome dress rehearsal to get ready for the Jets. You're going to face high-end forwards, two of the best, if not the two most dangerous in the league. It's in its own way going to be a great preparation tool for the Flames, thinking about Scheifele and Connor and Ehlers and Laine and go on down that list. And I truly believe when the Flames adjusted to playing what I thought, and I don't know about you, Kelly, did you not find that it was far more intense? That wasn't an exhibition game. That was way more like a regular season game, and a good regular season game, I thought, than an exhibition game. The first two games that I, you know, watched, and I didn't see much of Pittsburgh-Philly, but I saw a lot of Toronto and Montreal. It had a completely different feel from the get-go.
Yeah, I was, well, maybe not surprised, and maybe not shocked, because it's still the Flames and the Oilers, and it's still the guys out there. And I thought there was maybe more physical stuff in the first half of the game as opposed to the second half. I don't know if you saw it that way, but they just couldn't help themselves, right? They're just, you know, it's just the way it goes, right? That's just, that's hockey, and that's the Battle of Alberta, and, you know, I hope they never change, because that's kind of cool. Here's the scoop. We were thinking about this today. I don't think we're any closer to figuring out the goalie situation. And if we wanted like a statement or some sort of sign from the top line, I don't think you got any of those things from the Flames. What says you?
I'll start with the top line. I thought that there were some really, really good moments in the game, but I didn't find them to be as impactful 5-on-5. But Kelly, going up against the Winnipeg Jets, you're going to have a really tough time dominating, especially if you're matched against one of those top two lines. And I am very, very adamant about this. They can't lose those battles. The Monahan line cannot be dominated in this series. They play too many minutes. They matter too much. And one of the reasons, as you know, this team did not fare well against the Colorado Avalanche is it wasn't just about them not being as impactful on the scoreboard, Kelly. They were dominated. That can happen. So if they spend a lot of time against whether it's Scheifele or the Eakin line or how they're going to deal with Paul Maurice having the Adam Lowry line check them, depending on who they're playing against those top two offensive lines, it better be at least a saw-off, Kelly, or they're not doing their job. And so to me, last night for them, in breaking it down, I saw more of a saw-off against other people's good people. And when you think about the two lines, and they saw McDavid's line, they saw Dreisaitl's line, did they push it or dictate? No. But I didn't necessarily feel like they were dictated to. So that to me is progress, and that's a good first step. I do think, however, I have more of a decision in terms of where we're going to get to with the goalie.
Okay, tell me why. What'd you see?
I thought about it. You and I have had a couple of great conversations that I've thoroughly loved. And at this point, I am leaning Cam Talbot. And here's why. And you have maybe influenced me a little bit. I'm not a believer, Kelly. I am a believer in your body of work. But in this case, Cam Talbot has more experience than David Riddick in the playoffs. So that's a notch for me in his book. And I truly believe that both guys came back to participate in this goaltending battle. And I still think both of them have a real opportunity to play a role. And I'll get to that in a second. But in my estimation, through last night, one goalie has shown that he has handled all that goes with that battle mentally more than anything to be better at this point through the last 2.5 weeks than the other goalie. So I right now would give an edge after everything I thought about it. And you know, we spent 20 minutes with me last week giving you every thought I possibly could on how you could reach that decision, because I think that's always important. But now, after weighing it, watching it, thinking about it, playing it, and watching it play out, I'm going to lean to Cam, because I think to this point, Cam has won the opportunity. And I think even going back to last Friday, now, whether Cam was nicked a little bit or whether the coaching staff wanted David to get more reps in that last inter-squad game, Kelly, here's what has happened in all the camps I've observed. And I'd even say this about World Junior camps. You know when players get to take it a little bit easier than others sometimes is when the staff has decided they know what they have. Now, I'm not saying that I don't think Cam couldn't have been nicked up last Friday, but Cam, to me, was ahead. And then Cam also started last night. But I still think if it is Cam in a best of five, it's a short leash. But at this point, I think all the intel, I would go that way. And here's how I've changed my mind a little bit in thinking it all out. I was thinking a little, and David will be incredibly disappointed if he's not the guy. But you know what most people know, Kelly, if they really ask themselves? They observe the situation, and they know who the better guy is. But in some ways, while I thought, well, maybe David's feelings would be hurt because he waited patiently, he had an opportunity because I think he was in the driver's seat coming in. I think he's moved a little bit into the passenger seat. But, as an emotional, passionate guy, if he can get his mind right, there's going to be a lot of pressure, Kelly, on game one and that game one starter. So now, if David can turn that and go, we're going to play three games in 4 days, and that's a factor, too, because that's not the norm. We don't play back-to-back. We don't go from playing no hockey of any importance for 4 months to 3 and 4 games. You might need both guys in the best of scenarios. So Cam might win night number one, but as I also expressed to you, when we broke it down last week, as intrigued as I am about night number one, I might be equally as intrigued about night number two.
Yeah, because we've talked about, you know, David Riddick, and I hear stuff and I read stuff about, well, he's under contract, and what does that say to him for next year? It's like, I could not care less about next year. We will worry about people's feelings in November, okay? That's where we're at. And honestly, if you don't trust him to start a very, very important series for your franchise and for your fans, then you've made your decision already. You maybe don't think you've made your decision, but you have. And you're going to have to go shopping. So that's kind of where that is. I'm with you on the Cantalbot thing.
I don't know about the going shopping yet, because I don't think, Kelly, this whole thing has played itself out as of yet. But
yeah.
The key word is, why do I truly believe that Cam should start Saturday night? Because my trust level going into at least Saturday night is higher for him than it is for David.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting stuff. And I liked, you talked about battling, and I guess there's two ways you can look at it. There's the battle between who gets the net, but I thought there was also the kind of that internal battle that Cam had with himself when after that first goal went in and things were scrambly, right? It's an exhibition game. They hadn't played in months. And then he centered himself and he made some really big saves that maybe weren't 10 bellers, but there were some good stuff there that the game, especially that penalty that Sam Bennett took, that power play was all over the place. And he kind of held the fort and calmed things down. And I thought that was really important for him. I was hoping, you know, this is where you wanted two exhibition games. You didn't get them. It would have been nice to see if Cam could have just kept going, but they needed to get David in there. But I'm with you. I think Cam starts on Saturday night, and that's, you can only go with the information you have. And I don't know if there's something that changes your mind between now and then. I can't see it.
Well, I can't see it at this point either. But there's other intel and other things at play, and I do. I think, you know, this is a team that has talked all season long about having two guys that they believe in. That could easily, Kelly, come into play in this series. And I think the schedule, too, being different, as I referred to, 3 and 4, says that. Now, getting back to the overall scenario, your ability not to just make saves, which is of the utmost premium, that's why we've spent 10 minutes talking about it, I think your ability to defend in the playoffs and get to your team structure and your team game is really important.
It's everything.
And after it is everything. You're right. It is everything. And after, I thought the Oilers were more dialed in the first period, and the Flames were sloppy. There wasn't any easy exits. Flames put together three or four really good shifts about 6 minutes into the second, and then I thought they really dictated for about 30 minutes. So after the game on the post-game show, I've ever believed in one thing in this business, it's this. Go to the people who know and really know. So I asked Ryan Huska, at a time of the year where structure and how you defend other people really matters, Ryan, how'd your team do last night?
Lou, we did like it. I mean, we've made a couple little slight adjustments to how we defend. I thought we did a good job of keeping Edmonton to the outside for the most part. And they have, you know, a few pretty good players on that side. And, you know, yes, McDavid scored a couple goals, but I thought for the most part we did a pretty good job of keeping their attack 5-on-5 to the outside. And that's something that's important for us. While at the same time, I thought our group did a really good job of trying to shoot the puck a little bit more. We had a lot of chances at the other end, and we have to, I think, moving forward, because of the goaltender we're facing, find a way to get a little bit more traffic in the goaltender's eyes. But I think once we get ourselves going against Winnipeg, our guys will realize how important that aspect will be for us. But we did like how much we put the puck to the net tonight. We liked the chances that we had. We know that if we play the same way, good things are going to happen for our team.
There's assistant coach Ryan Huska. I love that guy. I love how he has a turn of phrase and how he explains it, but he doesn't talk down to you. I love that.
No, I've been a big fan going all the way back to watching him play and win three Memorial Cups with the Kamloops Blazers. I was lucky enough to get to know him early in his coaching career in Kelowna, where he was part of the 2004 staff that won the Memorial Cup, and again continued to get to know him even better through the 2000s, whether it was at World Junior camps and in leading the Kelowna Rockets to the 2009 Western Hockey League title and to the Memorial Cup. Kelly, the thing about Ryan Huska, and this isn't always the case when you hear people on the microphone, but what you hear from Ryan Huska is Ryan Huska. He is all class. He is respectful. He doesn't, as you said, he doesn't talk down to people. He doesn't feel like he's schooling you. I think it's why at some point, especially when I think about the modern-day National Hockey League player with some more experience at this level, I think he's got a chance to be a terrific National Hockey League head coach, if indeed that's where he wants to go. And I got a pretty good inkling. Most guys who coach, that's where they want to be when it's all said and done.
Yeah, it's not an if, it's just a win for him, right? Get a little more experience. And,
I think so. Absolutely.
Okay, so Flames lose 4-1. The score, I think, we don't care about. I certainly don't. It's the process and what you saw. I mean, once I kind of got over just seeing the guys on the ice and doing that, I mean, I love that. Tell me your overall takeaway and what. Now it's for real, and tomorrow's hit, we're going to dig into the Jets, of course.
Yeah.
But just give me your overall takeaway, what you saw there from Edmonton last night. Like, just kind of lessons learned and that sort of thing.
Okay, and we'll get to Jeff Ward on the lessons, because I think they're really, really important. Kelly, going into Saturday, last night to me showed over and over again how important the details of your game are and how you need to get to them early. So the Flames start the game with the Backlund line, 30 seconds. You know where the 30 seconds was spent? In the Edmonton zone. Perfect. Then the Monahan line came on the ice, and they followed that up for about 20 more seconds. And then they turned the puck inside the Edmonton zone. I don't have to point out the player's name, but you might be able to guess. So the Flames turned it over. The Oilers had a transition attack. And the far side defenseman, Oscar Klefbom, was left wide open because forward on the back side did not pick him up. So that generated a grade A scoring opportunity, a rebound, and now Kyler Yamamoto has been just a great find and has really made this team much better. Talking about the Oilers, you're down 1-0. So for 50 seconds, they couldn't have done it better. But one mistake, a coverage mistake, where'd the puck end up?
Wrong guy's stick.
In your net.
Yeah.
And now, after dictating basically for the majority of the first two shifts, you're down 1-0. And now that builds for the other team. In the playoffs, in a best of five, that matters. And I love this line from Jeff Ward, who, like me, there was way more to like about the process than not like. But here's his takeaway on the whole night for him and his staff.
You know what? Everything that we wanted to take a look at, we saw tonight. So I think there was an awful lot of good things that we did. I thought the start was a little slow, but I thought we got a lot better as the game went on. And I think the most important, or one of the most important things we have to understand about tonight's game is that, and the lesson is that in playoff time, it's not always what you make, it's what you leave. And we left a couple of things that they were able to cash, and that's the way playoffs go. So, you know, for us, we gotta learn from it, get better from it. But everything we wanted to look at, we saw. And I thought that there, our guys gave a real good accounting of themselves, especially in the second period and into the third. And on another night, we had enough chances to, you know, to, I felt like, pull into the lead. Their goalie made the stops when he had to, again, which is this time of year. We just have to keep plugging. So we move forward from here now, and we look forward to the next couple of days of practice and then starting for real on Saturday.
Yes, we do start for real on Saturday. Looking forward to that. That's head coach from the Calgary Flames, Jeff Ward, talking about last night's 4-1 loss in Edmonton. Now, tonight, Professor Lou, give all the listeners their assignment when they watch the Jets-Vancouver game. What are we got to look for so we can take our notes?
Well, I don't know about anything specific, but I'd be looking for exactly the same thing that I was looking for last night, and that is, I think this is going to be a really good rehearsal for both Winnipeg and Vancouver. I think it will be played a lot that way. So, like the Flames, watch how the Jets defend, because that's one area, you know, that's not necessarily a top six on the back end that defends well. But defending well, nobody talks enough about how forwards do it in order that your best people have the puck. So I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to watch the game. I'm going to be really, really interested on how Paul Maurice runs his bench. And again, you can't go to school on that, Kelly, because this is still an evaluation game. I like the Jets team up front, especially their top nine, because I think they slot right. And I don't think there's a lot of questions for Paul Maurice in terms of how he's going to try and go about his business in terms of trying to dictate the matchups to Jeff Ward and the Flames. But a big part of that series is going to be, can the Flames forecheck well and put a lot of pressure on that Jets back end, which I think if there is a weakness there, that can be taken advantage of. So I'm going to watch that group of six of the Jets, how they handle the pressure, how long it takes for them to have clean exits. I always watch how teams defend, because I think the quicker you get to being a complete team that defends well, I always like your chances at playoff time. Kelly, I say this in every major sport, football, hockey, baseball, basketball, you've got to get stops.
Yeah, you do.
And that's just not in net.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get you. I get you. Okay, Lou, we're going to let you go. We'll check. Well, we got Blue Jays and Jets and Canucks tonight. And tomorrow we'll kind of dig into those Jets as they are next up for the Flames. Obviously, Saturday is the start of the play-in round. Have a great day today. Enjoy the sunshine. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thanks. Okay, you too.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Rolling along here on Hockey Central at Noon, I'm Kelly Kirsch, making way for Peter Klein in Hour 1 of Pinder and Steinberg. As we have a short show again today, as the Jays will be in Washington, except they're the home team. They blew out the Nationals 5-1, and we've got a little history in the making today. So we'll get details on that with Patrick on the update on the Trending Now coming up. And we'll also hear from Louis DeBrusque. He is going to be front and center for Sportsnet and CBC when it comes to the NHL coverage. He was there last night. He'll give us our spin on his spin on what he saw last night and how he thinks the Jets and Flames match up, as well as the Wild and the Vancouver Canucks. We'll do that next on Hockey Central at Noon.
Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Kelly Kirsch making way for Peter Klein at 1 o'clock. Pinder and Steinberg goes short today, right till 4 o'clock. And then we go to Washington, D.C. as the Jays continue with the Washington Nationals. And a little history in the making, hey? Get one of the Jays' top prospects getting his first start. Nate Pearson goes for the Jays.
Yeah, I can't remember. Outside of Vlad, I can't remember the last time I was this excited.
This is pretty big, hey?
Yeah, it's huge. Like, throwing triple digits. Like, the Jays haven't had probably since, my God, probably like Chris Carpenter or Roy Halladay.
Yeah, this is, and those guys maybe took a little while.
Yeah.
But this is a prospect they've been drooling over for a while. And what and he gets to go up against one of the best.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Why not? Right,
only the best in the game to learn from Max Scherzer.
So let's see it. What happens? And see if the Jays can make it three in a row. So we'll go there at 4 o'clock. Look forward to that. Lots of stuff going on. What's the latest in MLB before we get to Louis DeBrusque? Because I keep hearing every time the Sportsnet guys send out a little blurb to everybody, so that doesn't look like good news.
Well, we got another Marlin testing positive for COVID-19. So
who doesn't have COVID-19 on the Marlins? Well, maybe that's simpler.
What are they carrying, like 30 players now? They got their staff, so they got like 20 guys now in quarantine. From the team,
so half a dozen guys, a dozen guys that are, okay, and they're just soiling the sheets, going, eventually I'm going to get it, right?
Oh my god! But you know, it's the Marlins are literally the only team that has any sort of COVID-19 test, and then the Phillies have said, no, we're not going to play yet. We're going to play on Saturday now.
They just want to make sure that they're safe, right?
Exactly. And the Jays moved hotels. They were supposed to stay in the Marlins hotel, but I guess they've moved.
So staying with the Marlins stayed.
So
no thanks.
Yeah. So Jays Phillies day night doubleheader on Saturday.
Yeah. So tonight we got baseball and then hockey, as we'll hook up with our friends at Sportsnet 650 out in Vancouver, as they'll have the game for you. Was it 8:30 that game?
Yeah, it's 8:30. Yeah.
So we might. I have a little over.
The Jays will end around 7.
7.
Because that's how they've been going with these 4 o'clock starts.
What do I have planned between 7 and 8:30? I can't remember. What do we have? I don't know.
Maybe a best of. I don't know.
Maybe I should have figured that out, hey?
Oh, we'll figure it out.
Whoopsie. Or maybe we'll take, maybe we'll take the 6:50 pregame. Huh?
That makes sense.
Hey?
That makes sense.
Now you're talking. A little programming lesson for everybody. All you kids going to Satan Mount Royal. That's how the pros do it. On the fly.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Here's a plea for everyone to enter our contest, because we've got our playoff pool. We couldn't do it the way we did it, last year with the booze and, hanging out at the palace and all that kind of stuff. And, well, no, we've had to change that, and so now we've hooked up with our great partners at Iconic Electric and Controls. So just go to our website, go to contests, and get the form there, and get the passwords and everything, and enter your name, enter your team name, and have some fun with it. They've got goofy categories, and it'll be fun. But you got to do it before Saturday at 10 a.m. And who knows? We're going to have prizes for each round. So you could win like a nice big thing of meat from Backyard Barbecue. And then the grand finale, the big prize, would be a huge thing of meat from Backyard Meats. And also a smoker from Paradise Bay. So that's pretty cool. So if you think you're smart and you think you're, you know, can do this, check out the goofy category. Some are fun. Some are just, you know, pay homage to the flames. So either way, we'll have some fun with that. And yeah, do that. But make sure you do it before 10 o'clock on Saturday. Otherwise, you will be a spectator and not a participant. So that's how it's going. Louis DeBrusque, loved it when he played. I loved his style. His son's a good hockey player. Louis turned out to be a really good broadcaster. He was doing color with Chris Cuthbert last night.
How great is Chris?
Oh, great day. He just effortless.
Welcome
like,
back.
Just like, yeah, this is not your first rodeo, hey, CC? Yeah, I think you're going to be okay. So he the guys had him on this morning and wanted to ask a little bit about, you know, he saw the game in person. And the first question was from Boomer.
This was not a regular playoff game, but certainly for a meaning nothing game for either team in terms of the result, it was a hitter. It was a banger. Were you at all surprised that they went at each other in the fashion that they did?
I guess I shouldn't be, considering the series they had in the regular season, but I was. I actually really was, because I was watching the Toronto-Montreal game, and Chris and I just talking about it, kind of, we wanted to look in and see how it was, see how the teams looked, see how it sounded and the vibe, and I thought it looked really good. I personally thought the Toronto-Montreal game, though, in my opinion, was fast. I was really impressed with how fast that game was. It looked very quick, very skilled, which you could expect from the Leafs. They're a very highly skilled team in Montreal as well. So I thought if I was to put an analysis on both of them, that game seemed to be a little more polished. Whereas the Battle of Alberta, you're right. Right from the get-go, I thought the Flames came out with a hitting mentality. And I think that's probably a better way to get yourself into what you're going to do on Saturday night for real. You can't really wait in. You've heard that phrase a lot here. You have to kind of go with it. But that's the style of game that the Flames want to play Edmonton as well. I thought they picked up their physicality after the big hit by Cassian on Gustafson, who, by the way, just shrugged it off and just kept playing, which was pretty great. You know, he just took the hit and, you know what, no big deal. He was involved in the game, which was what I was impressed to see. But I didn't expect it to be that chippy, though. Yeah. I didn't expect it to have that animosity still carrying over, considering everything that everybody's been through. But I guess when you really look at it, that's the Battle of Alberta, and it's back and well, that's for sure.
I would guess both teams were happy that it did have that as they get ready.
One of
the similarities in the series that await these two teams, you've got Chicago, Edmonton, you know, the Oilers know who they're going to be facing in net. It's going to be Corey Crawford, but they do have a bit of a question, I guess, in terms of Koskinen or Smith, and it's very much the same for Calgary. They know it's going to be Hellebuck, but right now it's a query. Is it going to be Riddick or is it going to be Talbot? I guess I'm just curious if you could weigh in on both and what you're seeing in terms of a starter for both sides with game one now just days away.
You know, it's tough because there's not that handful of exhibition games to give your goaltenders the proper time to kind of get into the series. And that's just unfortunate, but that's just the reality that everybody has to go through. And in the situation that the Flames and Edmonton are in, they don't have necessarily that bona fide starter. You know, like you mentioned Hellebuck, you know he's going to be the guy. Corey Crawford's won two Stanley Cups. He's going to be the guy. I look at who they started. Jeff Ward put Cam Talbot over the boards first. And I thought after a couple goals against, I thought he settled in. I really did. He had more work, and he made some good saves. He really did kind of calm himself down, which is going to be really important in a shortened series to have a goaltender that has that calm demeanor. And I do believe that's why they went with Cam Talbot. He's older. He's more experienced. Riddick really didn't get as much work, and it was really hard to tell. The goals that went by him late in the game, he didn't face anything. He didn't really have to deal with a whole lot because the Flames at that time were really pushing the issue for most of that time that he was in between the pipes. On the flip side, again, they started Koskinen. Dave Tippett decided to go with Mikko Koskinen. I do believe the fact that back in Finland, he had ice available. He skated a little longer, and he came in a little more prepared and ready because of that situation. he just looks a little more polished. I mean, he was very calm and smooth in there, but then Mike Smith jumped in there and made the save of the game. I mean, just an absolute terrific glove hand save. And you know what? Bennett got good wood on that shot. I thought,
yeah, he did.
You know, that was a great one-timer, and he came across and absolutely snatched the goal away from him. I thought both of them played well, but if I'm a guessing man, I would say that he's going to go back with the same order that he started with again. He's going to go Koskinen, then Mike Smith, and I think both of them will play. He's talked about that all along, and I know people say, well, if Koskinen goes in there and stands on his head, if you're going to go on any type of run in the playoffs, you're going to need depth. And he's talked about the fact that the Oilers have used both goaltenders all year long, and I expect him to stand up to that. He will give both guys opportunities to go in there and hold the net as they did during the year. And I think on the flip side, I do believe the verdict, if Cam Talbot struggles or maybe has an off night, he's going to get his opportunity again too. That's just my guess. This is not edged in stone. Obviously, I'm just giving you my opinion on what I saw, and if you're going to start both guys in the only exhibition game you have, I'm thinking it's going to start that way again on Saturday.
The color analyst for NHL play-in and exhibition and playoff hockey on Sportsnet is our guest. He's Louis DeBrusque here on Boomer in the Morning. Ryan?
Louis, is goaltending the biggest question mark for the Flames and Oilers? You mentioned that Winnipeg, we know exactly what we're going to get there, but are there bigger questions surrounding Edmonton and Calgary than that?
I believe it is, Ryan. You know what? Here's the thing. I just think it's the biggest question on everybody's team coming into this. Short turnaround, and listen, even the starters, even the guys that you expect to step in between the pipes and be the starters for these series, I think it's always going to be a question mark until it's either on or off. You know, it's good because there will be one or the other. There's going to be goaltenders that step in and settle in, and you know what? You go, wow, they're giving you a great performance each and every night and a chance to win. There's going to be goalies that are going to step in, and they're not going to have the same success. But yes, it is a question mark for me. I would say more so with the Flames right now, just with the way it ended. I thought Cam Talbot obviously was the better goalie down the stretch. David Rittich was the workhorse early on. He started 30 of the first 40 games. I mean, he was fantastic at the start of the season last year. I still think he's figuring out his game in the NHL, though. I think he's relatively an inexperienced goaltender, and he's really has all the physical attributes to be a great goalie, but he's still figuring out that process and just that stability mentally of going in each and every night and giving you a chance to win. Cam Talbot's been through this a little bit more, and I think that could bode well for him going forward too. But the raw talent of Rittich, I think they see. They understand he's a passionate, fiery guy, and I like him a lot. I mean, he's certainly a character. When he's on top of his game, you can't get a BB by him, and that's what you want from your goaltender. You want a goaltender that has that upper-end game. So that's the biggest question for me. And I talked about last night a little bit. I've never felt, and talking with you guys and a friend of yours, Peter Labardius, we talk all the time. You know, skill's never been a problem with Edmonton. With Calgary. So to me, the biggest question is, you know, how badly do you want it? How much are you willing to commit? And what type of game you're going to play? I like the physicality they brought out in the game last night early. And I think that's a real sign of the mentality and the type of game they want to play. And if they play that aggressive physical style, and again, this is just an exhibition game and maybe ran out of gas a little bit and then found that second win. And we're actually a dominant team, I thought, in the second period from big part of the third. Edmonton was sitting back on their lead. I understand that. But still, you got to take advantage of that and get your licks in. And they did. And if it wasn't for great goaltending, it could have been a different game. It could have been a completely different game. And I'm sure that Edmonton's probably looking at the tape saying, hey, we can't let off the gas that much in a game. They understand that, but this is still, again, a feel-out process. I think those are the concerns for me with the Flames. And for Edmonton right now, I'm not as concerned about goaltending because I do believe they have two options there, two guys that have had great stretches throughout the season. But I would say, you know, for me, it's just going to be the depth. It's going to be everybody coming to play and piling on and making sure that everybody's playing the right way, which is something that Dave Tippett has been preaching all year long.
Curious your perspective on the Calgary core. We saw the second-best regular season in franchise history last year, followed by an incredible whimper from most of the Flames' best players in a five-game loss to Colorado in round one. Do you see this as last call for this core or an audit on this core group to say, okay, if you don't do it here, we have to address this group?
I think it certainly has that feel to it. There's no question that, you know, that's kind of been from my perspective, the feeling with the Flames right now is that they're looking at this saying, hey, we need to either create an identity and make sure that we're doing things the right way, or we're going to have to look in a different direction. And that's just the natural progression of an organization that wants to win. Are they at that point in time? I would think for sure they're certainly thinking that way. There's no question. It was a really disappointing loss last year, and it was a bitter feeling. And I'll tell you guys, going in there all year long and covering the Flames over the last few years too, it's every single time we went in there, it was still talked about. It was not forgotten. So this really did not sit well with them. And it was a slap in the face. They came out of the West, the number one team. They were high flying, and boom, they ran into a wall. That big wall was the Avalanche, and it was adversity. And they didn't handle it the greatest. You know, I think it shocked them. I really think it did. But I do know that they have a different mentality this year, and that's the most important thing. If you can learn from those experiences, that's the benefit of those experiences. If you take a learning curve from that and say, okay, what can we do to be different? What can we do to make sure that doesn't happen again? And I just think the mentality, the verbiage they're using going into this qualifying round, they're a little more fired up. They really are. Jeff Ward obviously knows what it takes. He's won a Stanley Cup in 2011 with the Bruins. So his preaching has been trying to get a little bit better every day. And that's really all you can do in this shortened training camp and trying to get things into shape. But you talk about the core. Yeah, it was a disappointing performance last year. Their core players, and they have some highly elite skill players, as you mentioned. They all had career highs last year. And, you know, that is also a sign, though, that they have an upper level that is unique. Not every team has that upper level. So you have to also appreciate the fact of what they did. I mean, Johnny Gaudreau was 1 point away from 100 points. I mean, you just don't bang out 100 points in the National Hockey League every year. I'm sorry, you don't. Had a little bit of an off year this year where it was, you know, up and down as far as momentum goes, but I thought he played a lot better down the stretch. And I really did feel the team was starting to morph into what Jeff Ward wanted them to be down the stretch. And they seem to be a tighter team, which would be really important in this tournament style form that they're going to go through in the hub cities. But no question, they're on the line. We talked about it last night. This is their time to say, listen, we want to do better. We have to come and bring a better game, and we have to be more impactful in that game. I thought last night the top line got better as the game went on. A little quiet in the first period. You could credit Edmonton with coming out a little more aggressively and a little sharper early. But as they started to go, you started to see them create some chances. But they're going to have to be impactful in the series, and that's just for every team. Your best players have to be your best team. But is it the last kick at the can here for this core in with the Flames? It has that feeling to me, but you'll never know until that happens, and we'll have to see what happens in this qualifying round.
The other series we haven't talked about is we have talked Oilers, Flames, and of course the Jets because they're playing the Flames. What are you seeing as you get set for Vancouver, Minnesota? To me, this is a ton of experience in an older group against a lot of Canucks' first time ever experience playoff type hockey.
Yeah, I see the same thing, and it's funny because that's been a question that's been asked a lot over the course of this 4.5 months that we've been sitting here waiting for hockey to come back and talking about it is what is the benefit? Who benefits more? Is it the veteran team that knows how to kind of reel things in a short period of time and have been through these situations before or like situations? Or is it a young team that doesn't know any better? You know, sometimes that youthful enthusiasm is really powerful because you're just putting your skates on and you're so excited to play, you're just playing. And I think there's a little bit of that with the Vancouver Canucks. They're a young core, but their young core has been forced to be that young core because of a slight rebuild on the fly. They've injected some veteran guys that have won cups. So Toffoli, Pearson come over from the Los Angeles Kings. That's an organization that, you know, knows how to win and did it for a long time, was one of the best teams. So their mentality coming forward has been really beneficial to the Vancouver Canucks. But I do agree, the Minnesota Wild, one of the things that this pandemic has done is made everybody reflect. It's made everybody sit down and really think about things. And whether you want to or not, that's just what's happened here. And I think for the older players in the league, having another season yet again potentially being taken away, being through lockouts. And, I mean, I know that those older players in the Minnesota Wild 100% understand that you just don't get that many kicks to the can, many opportunities to win a Stanley Cup and go on a run in the playoffs. And they started to play really well down the stretch. They started to really buy into what Dean Evason was preaching. And I just think that they're a dangerous team because of that. They have old veteran leadership that can still play the game, and they have some good young players too. But on the flip side, I do think the Canucks are as we've seen over the last few years, building under Travis Green, and they play a real high-octane aggressive style, and that's what they're going to have to do. And if they do that, I think they can wear down and beat the Minnesota Wild. It'll be an interesting series, but I think that it's the tale of two tapes, and it'll be whatever team comes out and can kind of deal with that the best. And that adaptability is going to be the biggest key for any team throughout this tournament. It's just being able to understand that you're going to have to manufacture some of that intensity without having the crowd noise, without having the oohs and ahs. You're going to have to do it yourself. You're going to have to really dig deep and make sure you're the ones that are committed to working in the details in the game. And I've been impressed, though, guys. I got to tell you, I've been impressed with the game so far. I've watched them, and I'm impressed with the speed, the tenacity, and last night the physicality in the Battle of Alberta. I thought it was a good sign of things to come forward, and I'm looking forward to the game tonight in Vancouver and Minnesota. Vancouver and Winnipeg. But
there we go. There's Louis DeBrusque earlier today with Boomer and Ryan Pinder and Will Nault right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We're going to take a quick break and get ready for Peter Klein. He arrives after 1 o'clock. Steinberg after 2 o'clock. Jays Washington after 4 o'clock. And a whole bunch more right here on Sportsnet 960.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's Kelly Kirsch, Patrick Dumas joining us. He's producing today and also working at the Trending Now desk. And Patrick, we were talking about coming up on Saturday. Talk about, you know, feast, famine, and back to feast. We've got it on Saturday. We're going to be a little busy. I mean, there's a lot of sports on Saturday for people to take in. Give us the rundown now that we know that the Jays are playing a doubleheader.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy day for the folks at Sportsnet. I got Jays Phillies times two. Obviously, the NBA is back tomorrow night, but the Raptors play their first game against LeBron and the Lakers.
Woo!
5 NHL games, obviously, including the Jets and Flames. FA Cup final, if that's what you like, Chelsea and Arsenal in that one. And of course, it's UFC Fight Night down at, I believe it's Fight Island still.
Out in, all United kinds of Arab stuff Emirates. For your long weekend.
Yeah, we're gonna be, it's a long weekend.
Well, I'll tell you. We're going to be busy on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Tell you, Saturday is going to be fun, and you want a place to go check out all these sports? Well, what you want to do is check out Calgary's newest and largest sports lounge, the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino, and their Sports Ultra Lounge. Catch the games on their big screens with sound, or what you could do is have your own experience. How about this? They have cabanas. And you're thinking, cabanas? What are you talking about? Picture this, 4 to 6 guests in their own kind of area. They control their own TV. They have their own personal server, but you still have access to 8 bars. And you just basically get to enjoy whatever game you want. If you're a Flames fan, if you're a Leafs fan, Jays, whatever, they want everybody down there. Debit and credit card only, no cash. They've really taken this COVID-19 regulations and safety precautions to heart, and they've really worked hard at it, making it as safe as possible, the social distancing, all that kind of stuff, the cleaning of the areas. They've really, really made sure it's important. It is important. They got big screens all over the place, and if you want to get, you know, kind of figured out and, you know, get one of those cabanas, they're free. But they are first come, first serve, and you can do that by going to greyeagle.ca and getting all the details on that. Looking forward to it. So Saturday is the place to be, as it's Calgary's newest and largest sports lounge, the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino's Ultra Lounge. It's an experience. Check it out. It's going to be fun. All right, we'll take a break. Klein's next. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.